Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 185. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me. This is going to be an awesome episode, and I love this. I've actually pulled this content from within the Jazz Piano School members area, and it's awesome. I love this. This is actually a bonus, and it's called the Improv Bootcamp Masterclass. And essentially, what I wanted to do with this particular bonus and this piece of content that I'm going to be giving you guys is that I wanted to develop and give you a system, a bird's eye view of the necessary steps that you need to take, practice, and master to hone and get to the level of improvisation that you want, right? And that level is a high level where you're playing burning solos, you're playing stuff outside the box, you're playing actual jazz language, right? Now, easier said than done, but my goal with this was that people don't have a roadmap. They don't have a plan. They don't really know like the steps that it takes to get there. Essentially, most of the time, and this is the way I felt about all jazz education, in fact, not just improv, but with everything, there's no plan. We can't see the future. We don't know the steps to get there. And actually, I feel like that in a lot of things in life. And I love when people lay it out for me, you know, and say, okay, this is what we're going to follow. This is how we're going to get you there. You know why? Because I can see everything I'm going to need to do. Like, I can literally see it. And I'll be like, oh, wow. Okay, great. It's motivating. It's inspiring, right? When we see that plan, that path, you know, it's like driving from Boston to California. When you map out a path, like a plan through the roads and everything, when you see that plan, guess what happens in your mind? Like automatically, psychology, in your head, it becomes doable because you see the path, you see the plan, you see how you're going to get there. And guess what? After you see that, what's the next step to do? Start going. Just start doing it. Go down the path, right? Make progress. Go forward. But when you don't have a path and you're trying to move forward, but you don't know where you're going, you feel lost. You feel like you're constantly wondering, like, am I doing the right thing to get to the spot that I want to get to? Am I going in the right direction? For all I know, I could be going backwards. I could be making backward, you know, steps or going sideways. No one wants to do that. That's a complete waste of time. And again, my whole philosophy on jazz piano and teaching jazz piano, and this is what I teach in Jazz Piano School for all the members and all the free content that we give, I like it to be structured and organized and efficient, is that I want you guys to have that plan. I want you to know exactly what the path is that you have to follow that will help you get to the level that you desire, right? So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay out the plan for you. I'm going to do demonstrations. Now, is each one of these particular steps difficult to master and really get under your hands? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, right? There's 11 steps here. It's an 11-step improvisation system. And each one of these steps is a battle in itself. It's a war, right? Each one of these steps takes a long time to master. But guess what? When you can look through this, you know, you can find out where your holes are. You can find out what you're good at, what you're not good at, what needs more work. Then you can develop a plan that will help get you what you want, right? So, with that being said, I hope you guys are staying safe. Coronavirus is in full effect. Sacramento just got a formal lockdown. So, I'm going to be in my house creating content, working on a lot of new things. Jazz Piano School is moving software plugins, so we're going to be adding achievements, goals, course structures, more course structures, groups for institutions, high schools, studios, so that groups, studio users can manage their students and track their progress inside of Jazz Piano School. Ah, I love it. We're redesigning the pages. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to stop upgrading, you know, and even this is not where I want it to be, because ultimately I want a custom platform, but this is going to be pretty good. This is going to be pretty darn good, and it's going to look great, and it's amazing. We've just moved servers to and upgraded. It was a, you know, kind of a nightmare while doing it, but now that we did it, it's great. It's great. And if there's members out there listening, we're going to continue to upgrade things, and it's going to be really fun. I had something else on my mind that I can't think of right now. We're going to be opening Jazz Piano School probably after coronavirus dies down, so that people are working again, right? And, you know, just like every life is back to normal, right? Because right now it's like, geez, I mean, you probably have a lot of time at home to practice, but I don't want you to, you know, I don't want to have you have to have people pay for things right now. And actually, we're talking about opening up Jazz Piano School to everybody right now until maybe April 1st or something like that. But again, for the time being, you know, we want to create and help as much. I just remembered what I was going to say. Yes. So, the other thing is that there may be teachers out there. And if you guys know teachers or there, I know there's high school students and college students that listen to the podcast, and there may be, music educators that listen to the podcast as well. But what I want to do is, amidst the coronavirus, we're seeing a lot of things, you know, we're seeing a lot of trends happening, and clearly all of us are forced to work from home and educate from home. And for teachers, everyone's going online, and guess what? I've been doing this for 5 years, right? I've been teaching jazz piano online for 5 years, and this whole like shift to the online thing, it's normal. It's completely normal for me, as I'm sure you guys know. Like, this is what I do. And, you know, I started a business that taught people jazz piano online, and, you know, it's been pretty successful, and, you know, it's still growing. And so I think I do this pretty well. I have a lot of knowledge creating, designing, teaching, and all sorts of aspects of music, not just the teaching part, the marketing, the business, the software, the tools you need to get set up teaching online, right? The ways you can create online income streams to not, you know, totally be in the dumpsters and be able to pay rent during, you know, stuff like this. Like, this should be showing everybody out there, like, you guys need to have backup plans. Not just you, but everybody. Everybody needs to have backup plans. And I truly believe in this day and age, with the online ability, you know, to share your knowledge, share your skills, that everybody can create a business, their own business online, that is, you know, adding to their overall annual revenue, you know, income, and, you know, creating a security net, a blanket, so that when things like this happen, you know, you don't have to be that scared, right? You can go online, you can still help people online and trade your services, right? And a lot of people, musicians, artists, performers, you know, they need this. And I'm still trying to figure out the branding and things like that. But, you know, I'm just going to throw some stuff out there and see what sticks. Because earlier I did brand a business called Creative Income Streams, and I wanted to target and have the business be for all creatives, right? For artists, performing artists, dancers, writers, musicians. But now that I think about it, I think it may be too wide. So I think I'm just going to help musicians, because obviously I relate to them in a really nice way. And we'll see. Maybe we can expand out and have different branches, you know, for dancers or whatever like that. But for the time being, I'll start with musicians. And I'm going to develop a mini course. And I don't really know. I'm just talking off the cuff right now. But I guess what I should do is have a page where you can sign up for the free course. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to develop a mini course that's going to show musicians a lot of different things. It's going to show them how to get set up teaching online. Now, if you're a private instructor, you can teach your lessons online. If you're a high school or college educator, studio educator, I'm going to show you how you can bring some things online as well. And you may have to follow, you know, institution rules, or you may be using things like that. But even if you are just a person that teaches in a high school and you have more to share, like maybe you want to start your own business, maybe, you know, all your education, you want to put it online for other people, and you want to develop your own sort of business with your charts, your teaching videos, your skills, your knowledge, whatever you're passionate about, you can put that online. You know what software, you know what tools to use, you know how to do it all, you know how to get set up, taking the payments and everything, and you know, adding that extra income stream to your, you know, blanket, your security net for the year. And again, you'll have your day job, but then also you can manage your online business as well, which is going to help out and be absolutely fantastic, you know. And it doesn't take that much. I shouldn't say it doesn't take that much. It takes a lot of work, but the way Jazz Piano School is a behemoth, right? And I went for it. I just went for the whole thing. But you don't have to create a Jazz Piano School. Like, I'm going to show people how you can start very small. And based on what you're going for, you know, if you want to scale it to a larger size and reach thousands of people all over the world, then absolutely you can do that. If you want to stay with just within your students, your local area, and then maybe give them ways that they can sign up and for more education online, and you can do that as well. So I think I'm going to think of a URL right now, and because that way you can go to this page and put in your email address if you want the mini course, okay? And so let me see. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I will, because I don't even know what the name will be. This is how fresh, this is how new this is going to be. I did buy a domain the other day, which was like the online music educator. And I've researched this, and I see some other people helping teachers as well, and I think it's a fantastic thing. And I believe that, you know, you don't just buy one book. You don't just read one author, right? And so same thing for online businesses and entrepreneurs. You're not just going to, you know, you're not just going to deal with one business. So I think I have a lot to add besides the other businesses that are teaching this, and I have a lot of experience. So the onlineeducator.com is what it may be, but again, I may change it. But as always, contact us. I'll put the link in the show notes for you guys. And if you're interested, just go ahead and click on the link. So with that being said, let's get to this lesson. Here we go. So chord tones is going to be the first improv step that you want to master. Now, I'm going to take a 2-5-1. There's our 2 chord in the key of C, going to G, going to C major 7. Now, chord tones, essentially, and this is so funny because I hear people improv that are really great. They're really great at improv, and they got a lot of cool, fancy tricks, for a lack of a better word, down. But they can't do a simple thing that is land on chord tones, and something sounds funny about their improv. Now, if I create a solo over a 2-5-1, and I do something like this, it was hard for me, but I was trying to land on non-chord tones. And when you do that, when you're landing on fours, you're landing on extensions all the time. Like if you're hitting 13s, 9s, 4s over the one chord, or for example, on the two chord, you're hitting 13s, 11s, 9s. And again, over the, sorry, I was switching up my voicings there. So I was having a hard time not playing root position chords for some reason. My brain was wanting to play rootless voicings, but when you're playing fours, again, nines, 13s, over everything, and you're not landing on chord tones, it's going to create a problem, right? It's going to sound funny, and especially when you're in different keys. Like if we're in the key of D flat, and I'm playing notes outside of D flat, so for example, outside of the major scale, if I play notes like D, right, E, G, A, B, there's ways to use these notes, don't get me wrong, right, for tensions and release, but when you don't know what you're doing, you're hitting some of these notes. It's going to sound bad. It's going to sound bad. And so this is, again, for more beginner players, but also I see this in intermediate to advanced players as well. Some people really not targeting the true essence of the harmonies. And this is such a basic thing. It's like that thing in any craft or skill you do, you really need to master the fundamentals. Otherwise, stuff's going to break down later, right? So as I go to improvise over my chord tones, my first goal is to land on chord tones on the downbeat when my chord switches. Here's an example. One. So there's the five. So I started with the five. 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 It doesn't matter what chord tone you land on. You just want a chord tone and you want it to be on the downbeat. Okay, so here's another example. And again, what you're going to have to do, like I just did, is you want to practice. Sometimes you need to jump. Sometimes you need to move around, right, to land on that chord tone. And you want to practice scalar motion, so moving up and down. Very, very slowly. You can even take it out of time. I would recommend taking it out of time, but only play four beats within the measure. So I might play one and two and three and four and one and two and three and four and one. And do that over and over and over again. Switch directions, go up and down. One and two and three and four and one and two and three and four and one. Now, you see how I had to jump up and then come back down to land on that chord tone? Those are some of the things you're going to have to do to resolve to the chord tone, right? So you may have to jump up and then come down. But one of the things also that I hear in this particular step is you don't want to jump all over the place. So like, let's say you're going, and then you're on here and you're like, wait, I need to get to a chord tone. So you might go. Now that didn't sound that bad, but. Whatever it is, like you just don't want things to be completely jumping around because you're like, oh crap, I got to get to the chord tone. Voice leading is a process where you want to get to the closest chord tone, like the closest one to whatever note you're on. So if you're coming down here, now I'm on A, I have B or G to get to. So I'm going to pick one of those chord tones, right? You see that? Instead of going like this. Now that does sound okay, but these are the things you want to tackle later in your improv journey, right? At first, you want to master the ability to land on the closest chord tone from whatever position that you're at, okay? Now when you can create solos where you're landing on chord tones, you're going to emphasize the harmonies. You're going to make sure that your sound is really targeting the true essence of the tune by outlining the harmonies, because the harmonies, the four chord tones within a chord, they are the harmonies. They are building the harmonies. When you're not hitting the cornerstones of the harmonies, guess what? Your solo is not going to sound like it's playing over the harmonies, right? So if I create a solo, you should be able to play a solo with all chord tones. And it should sound great. Not great, but decent, right? That didn't sound that bad, okay? Number two is going to be connecting chord tones. So the next thing we want to do, as I was kind of explaining or alluding to in the first step, is we want to start to connect the chord tones. And we're going to connect them by using modes and scalar motion, okay? So again, I kind of merged the first two steps into one. But once you can solo with just chord tones, you want to start connecting them with your mode or your scale, right? So over your two chord, there's your D Dorian scale. There's your Mixolydian scale. There's your Ionian scale, right? So I want to connect my chord tones with scalar motion. And move up and down using the notes from whatever key I'm in, C major in this case, and connect them using scalar motion and connect those chord tones so that they're falling on the downbeat every time your chord switches. That's going to be step number two. Now, once you reach this point, this is when it starts to advance a little bit. So this is more or less the beginner stages of learning how to improvise, right? And you should get to a level where you can create solos. And all always land on the chord tone while swinging your lines, you know, and while moving up and down, you know, in a scalar motion, right? And that should be like clockwork. You should be able to do that in every key, any tempo, it doesn't matter, right? And that's your beginner step. Now, if you can't do that, guess what? You have holes in your improv playing, okay? And they could be, you know, holding you back and plateauing you and creating a wall to move forward or sound like the way you want to sound. Number three, this is where things start to get more, a little bit more fun, right? Now, the reason this sounds bland, guess why? It's all diatonic, meaning it's only coming from the C major scale. We have no notes that are outside the C major scale. And guess what? Our bebop approaches is going to be step three. Now, this is what creates bebop. So when I have notes that come from outside the scale or surround our chord tone, playing that bebop approach right there, you can already hear the bebop style start to come in. Now, this was what this was called is a bebop approach from the half step below to chord scale above to the chord tone. Now, what I want to do is take all my chord tones and I want to practice that. Half step below, chord scale above to my chord tone. Half step below, chord scale above, chord tone. Half step below, chord scale above. Chord scale above is just the note in the scale above the chord tone that you're going to. Right, so that I just practiced bebop approach notes for my D minor 7 chord. Now, I don't have time to get into bebop approach notes, and bebop approach notes are, you know, we have podcasts and blogs and stuff like that, information about learning them, but this is going to be step three. You need to practice your bebop approach notes, and you want to practice your half step below to chord tone. When you hear licks, right? You know, any sort of half step approach. That half step approach is a real key to playing bebop. Now, again, the same thing with your chord scale above. Right? You might hear, you're going to hear this all the time. Something like that, right? That chord scale above to chord tone is also an essential part of bebop, right? And then you start to get things like this. Like already that's sounding. You hear the movements now. Like once you start to practice these bebop approaches, they're like Legos. You start to connect them and weave in and out outside the diatonic harmony of the key, whatever you're in, and you weave in and out, and it, guess what it creates? Tension and release, tension and release. Now, in a nutshell, that's exactly what bebop is, right? Just little tiny segmented movements. You're still staying in the key, but and you're landing on chord tones, but at the same time, you're moving in and out just ever so slightly, which creates this bebop sound that's absolutely fantastic because you're getting tension, release, all right? So number three is going to be learning all of your bebop approaches, mastering them in every key, right? And when I say mastering, you need to learn all of them, be able to play them for all your chords in every single key, right? Minors, dominants, majors, all your different chords, and start practicing the use of them and connecting them in lines. Okay, there's a lot there. I mean, that whole topic right there is months of work, okay? You know, not to discourage you, but, you know, I'm just going over the plan right now. And if you can't play bebop, then that's probably one of the steps you need to tackle in order to get to that level that you want to achieve, all right? Number four is going to be improvisational tools. So at this point, we've done three steps. We can play bebop lines, but that's maybe that's all you're playing. maybe that's the way you sound like. And I was kind of, well, that would be pretty awesome. Hopefully you do. But I was using some improvisational tools as well. And number four is going to be improvisational tools. Now, improvisational tools, up until this point, you know your chord tones, you know your connecting chord tones, you know your bebop approaches. Improv tools are like individual tools in a tool bag. Sorry, I had to stretch my neck out. So these are going to be more like scales, like any type of scale. So a tool might be the altered scale. So if I play a C altered scale, right, your altered scale is a tool. Now I can bust this out and start using it like as a frame of reference, like a tool if I want to use. So I may be playing bebop and then go into my altered scale. So I'm in the key of F. Altered. And then I ended with a bebop approach. So I combined altered with my bebop approach, right? At the end. Another bebop approach, right? Or I could go, you know, and then move up the altered scale. So your improv tools are essentially scales that create and develop textures. Now, I can't go into all of them, but just to name a few, your altered scale, your half whole scale, right? Your whole half scale. So whole step, half step, whole step, half step, whole step, half step, whole step, half step, right? That's a scale. And that's more, that's for your essentially, diminished or, you know, other areas that you might use that texture for, your texture for, excuse me. My brain's going faster than I can talk. Your whole tone scale, right? Monk would use that a lot. Any sort of blues scale. Your major blues scale. Your major six blues scale. So all those things are like tools. So anytime you kind of learn a scale, not a lick, a scale, that's a tool because you can use that tool and bend it and shape it however you want. Because it's a frame of reference, like it's a group of knowledge. Like those notes, you can take those notes and create something with it. It's like a color, right? So that's going to be step number four, is improv tools. You want to learn improv tools. Now, up until this point, this is going to give you a lot. Like I can solo with just that and create amazing, amazing things. But there's some nuances that start to happen after this level. Now, a lot of people will have little bits and pieces of each one of these steps. So you may have a little bit and piece of each one of the steps I've talked about. Number five is going to be left-hand voicings, okay? Now, up until this point, I haven't really talked about your left hand, but it can greatly change a color. So if we're playing a blues, for example, I was using standard shells and blues voicings, right? Just some rootless voicings. But guess what? What if I did this? Do you think that would be different if I played the same blues lines in my right hand? And then what if I did this for my second chord, right? Yes, of course. It's going to completely change your sound. So many people go directly to learning right hand movements and licks and lines, but guess what? You can completely change your sound with just your left hand voicing, right? And if I were to play like a more of a sus sound, you know, whatever it is, right? And that's going to completely change my sound as well. So a lot of people actually hardly focus in on this. And if you listen to Brad and Keith and Herbie Chick, right, their left-hand voicings are matching the sound and atmosphere they create. And believe it or not, a lot of the sounds and atmospheres they create are not due to their right hand. Because remember, most of the time, people are only playing single note lines. The harmony is going to dictate the texture, feeling, and emotion that you're playing. Right, so if I play this as opposed to this, that's a completely different feeling, sound, vibe that you're going to get from my left hand, not my right hand. Right? I would play So what if my line was that? And I'm playing a regular blues voicing. Now let me change it to a sus voicing. That's a different sound already. Okay, now let me flat the 9. Right? I got my flat 9, regular 13. Let me add the sharp 11, okay? Right? That's another voicing as well, right? Maybe I half step into my voicing. That was pretty cool. I like that. Sorry, muffed the right hand there, but you get the picture, right? So your left hand is very, very important. That's going to be number 5. You want to focus on your left hand voicings, changing the extensions, the sound, the atmosphere. Number 6 is going to be, an extension of what I just said, is going to be adding reharms. So adding reharms to your tune or your 2-5-1 is going to completely change your sound as well. So in a 2-5-1, there's our standard 2-5-1. If I go, that's completely different as well. Right? So I'm adding a tritone there. If I add a relative 2 minor to the tritone, that's a different sound as well. If I play a sus, a G sus, instead of the 2, that's completely different as well. Maybe I'll go G sus, D flat, 7, C6. G sus, D flat sus, C major. Maybe I'll go D, right? G sus, D flat sus, C. So the reharms are going to completely transform your sound as well. And guess what? Anytime you create a reharm, what can you do with that reharm? You can improvise over the reharm. So in a 2-5-1, if I improvise over my new reharm, let's say I'm going to do this, it's going to sound like this. Completely changes the sound, right? And if I do a sus, completely changes the sound as well. Sorry. Right? All these different types of sounds, and I could go and then to C major. So I might go D minor. Let's go to the key of F here. So G minor, C7, C sharp, F sharp, F major 7. So when you're adding reharms in, right, you're also changing colors and textures that are a necessity for creating self-expression and changing your improv sound so that you're creating more color, you're creating more contrast, you're creating more textures. That's going to be number 6. Number 7 is going to be rhythms and contrast. Now, like as Ellington wrote, don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing, right? If we're playing a blues, playing much, like note wise, rhythmic wise, yes. Rhythms were all over the place. I had triplets, I had 16th notes, I had quarter notes, I had repeating rhythms, I had contrast, right? you need contrasting rhythms in your solo, all sorts of rhythms, quarter note triplets, sixteenths, triplets, moving back and forth, like all sorts, okay? If you don't have that, if you record your solo and you listen back and you find that you're only playing with eighth notes and quarter notes, guess what? You got to add more, right? You got to add more. And that's one of the reasons, you know, your solo is probably lacking. And again, if you're not using 16th notes, triplets, that's another reason your probably solo is lacking, okay? Your improv. So 7 is all rhythms and contrast. 8 is going to be improv motifs. Now, as you noticed in my last demonstration, you may have noticed a lot of repetition. Now, motifs deals with storytelling. So I want to tell a story in my solo, right? I don't want to just be playing. Right? I don't want to just play random notes. Like, can you sing anything back that I just played? That's a telltale sign that you're using motifs. If you can play a solo for someone or even yourself and you can't sing back anything you played, then you don't have motifs. Now, motifs are small building blocks that are telling a story, usually repetitive lines. They're small ideas. So I might go, there's my first motif. Small ideas that you're repeating, you're using. And what happens is that when you start allowing space, when you play an idea and you allow for space, right, to happen, you're gonna start to build a story. And you can play off that one motif, you can build it, you can twist it, you can change it, you can morph it a little bit, but you're taking that one idea and you're building upon that. And guess what? That creates a story, that creates development in your solo. It's not just a flat line. You're creating an arc now in your solo, which is telling a story and allows for your improv to be much more burning, much more killing, because it allows other textures to come out. Now, check this out. I was using 3 notes. I was using E flat, F, and A flat. Now, what this does is that to the ear, since this is all you're hearing, when I start to use other registers or other notes or other textures, it's going to bring those up. It actually elevates the other parts of the piano into your ear. So your ear's used to hearing this. Right? So when I jump up here to the, you're like, oh, like it comes out of nowhere. And it's like, oh, shoot, that's killing. Right? But if I just play that right off the bat, like, so if I went, sorry, it doesn't sound that bad, but it just doesn't have as much punch, right? So improv motifs are really, really necessary. Number 9, we're moving along here. We only got a couple more. Improv textures. So we need textures, and these textures are things like registers, right? Soloing in the low register, soloing in the high register, soloing in the middle, soloing without your left hand. Maybe playing a lot, playing a little, right? Maybe playing lots of notes, maybe holding notes. Comping, right? Switching back and forth. You need to have contrast. So many times I just hear people neglect their left hand, right? And just play, you know, totally focusing on the right hand. So, you know, whatever it is. Whoop, I hit that E natural there. But you need different textures, right? Play in the high register. Maybe play. You know, call and response, right? Maybe comp. know, whatever it is. So you want improv textures, right? And think of a lot of different things, slides, octaves, intervals, right? Thirds, fourths, fifths, sixths, repetitive motions, you know, whatever it is, you know. You know, like go for it. Go for it. Break out of the box and just be fearless about it. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, but you need contrasting textures besides just playing single eighth note lines. That's one color on the palette. Solo in the low register. You know, that's the Oscar. I love this texture. It's a texture. It's the Oscar texture, right? He would have this low end bass note line going. And again, even if you have a bass player playing, you can play down here, but he would have this low end bass line going and he'd be soloing down here in the low register. You know, that's a texture, and once I break out of it, you know, all the stuff up here is going to sound so much better, right? Because I've stayed with that texture, and then I change my color, and it's like, oh, new color, okay? That's going to be number 9, improv textures. Improv space. Now, you need space. So many people, right, don't give space in their solos. You absolutely need to give space. You need to give breath. And it's like talking, right? I talk really fast for some reason, and it's because, I don't know, I should give more space when I'm talking. I do it in my solos. I don't know why I don't do it when I'm teaching, right? I think because I'm so excited, but we do get so excited. We need to leave space, and we don't want to think about it as space because your left hand's still going to be comping. So I might go, this whole time, you can think about the colors that your left hand textures are using. So your left hand can be active, but leave space. Like say something small, right? It doesn't have, you don't have to play a lot. You know, and just play around with that. But like you hear this all the time, but you just have to. You have to leave space and develop a story with everything we've talked about before. Number 11 is a combination of everything we've talked about. So when you combine all the steps that I've just talked about, your improv is going to be burning. It's going to be killing. So again, just to review, chord tones, right? Chord tones. You have to be able to land on chord tones to develop a solo, to play within the harmonies. Connecting chord tones. Right, you have to be able to connect and move up and down in scalar motion, connecting chord tones. Bebop approach notes. Whatever it is, right? I'm just kind of flying through these. You have to be able to use bebop approach notes. Improv tools, altered scale, half whole. Right? Sorry. So, half whole scale, right? Whatever your tool is. Left hand voicings, adding reharms, rhythms and contrast, improv motifs, improv textures, improv space. When you combine all of this stuff together, it develops an amazing, amazing solo that is relatable, interesting, tells a story. You're developing your emotions, right? And putting them into the solo. It has harmonies. It's amazing. And again, if you leave space, it creates for a beautiful, beautiful thing. Let me take a different tune, actually, that there's so many changes going on. Let me take Autumn Leaves. So, there's my motif, right? Right? Melodic motif with some rhythms, right? So that's a displaced melodic and rhythmic motif, right? And again, I'm leaving space. I'm hitting chord tones, and again, I'm moving around, right? I'm playing solo piano right now, so I haven't been able to kind of utilize left-hand voicings. Right? 2-5 reharm. So that reharm is creating a brand new texture as well. And again, I was using the Oscar texture, right? And when you're playing solo piano, you have so much more at your, disposal to do again. So maybe I pull back on the gears. I was playing lots of bebop lines. Let me leave more space. Clearly, I have a motif going, so I'm going to stay with that. Maybe I break out of it now. I play a new motif. I haven't done much chordal stuff, so maybe I go into that. Halftime feel with some pedals. Space, right? More space. Long. I was playing all short there, and now I do long. Atmospheric. So you get it at that point. Do you see how much is going into this? Like everything I've talked about is now going into my solo. Chord tones, connecting chord tones, bebop approaches, improv tools, left-hand voicings, adding reharms. You saw the reharms I was adding. Lots of different rhythms. You know, whatever it is, like you can take off with all these different textures. Improv motifs, clearly I had tons of repetitive motifs, tons of textures, space, no space, little space, long, short, all these contrasting textures. And finally, again, step 11, as I was just demonstrating, I was combining all of this stuff into one to create a solo that was, you know, that comes out of all of this stuff that leads to creativity and your expression of your own soul and desire through the music. So that's a lot. No, your head at this point is probably like, oh my God, what do I do? Take each one of these steps, download the practice materials, and take each one of them, jazzpianoschool.com/podcast185. Take each one of these segments and work on it. Study it, then start to combine all of them. In that way, your solo and your improvisation is going to drastically, drastically improve when you start to work on each one of these components and combine them. Okay? Hope you guys had fun, and I'll talk to you soon.